I'm Lee Blue, and this is Double Stack, where WordPress freelancers discover the tech stack and the business development stack to become high-value, sought-after WordPress consultants. So if you're tired of burning yourself out with those high-stress, low-budget projects, and you're ready to start working with clients you love at the rates you're really worth, then you're in the right place. All of this is 100% free, so please subscribe to and review our podcast. All right, so let's talk about whether or not websites are still relevant today. This is a question that comes up all the time. Like, I get asked this question on a regular basis, and I thought that it would be worthwhile to kind of dive into it together, because a lot of people just have these really boring answers. And or maybe they don't have any answer at all. Maybe they're even wondering, maybe even you are wondering yourself, you know, with all the cool stuff that you can do on social media today, you know, why bother with a website when maybe a Facebook page is all you need, or your Instagram channel is all you need? And you know, a good argument can be made for that, right? So like, because you can reach your audience, you can publish your work, you can have live webinars and workshops, and you can sell stuff, like all the things that you used to do kind of exclusively on your website is now being able to be offered through social media platforms that business owners or individuals can just kind of run on their own without the need of a web designer or somebody like that. So what are you supposed to say if a client says, oh, you know what, I'm just going to use my social media stuff. I don't really need a website anymore. And then maybe you feel like, okay, well, I don't have any good answers, because all the normal answers are all boring answers, right? Like stuff like, you know, if you don't have a website, how are you going to get found online? Or how are you supposed to tell your story? Or how are you supposed to show your portfolio? Or what if you want to do e-commerce? And it's like, okay, yeah, you can do all that stuff on your website, but you can also do that stuff on social media now too. So those are really kind of dry, uninteresting, not really compelling answers to this question. And what I wanted to do today is kind of come out and share with you what are some things that you can be doing with regard to your client's website that's unique and distinct and critical reasons why you should have a website today, as opposed to only relying on social media. Now, I'm not saying that you don't need social media. I'm just saying that you also need a website, and there's at least five big solid reasons for that. And so let's go ahead and dive into it. The first one is ownership and accessibility. So what I mean by ownership and accessibility is who owns the relationship between you and your client, and how accessible is your audience to you. So for example, if somebody follows you on Facebook, for example, and they follow your Facebook page, and then you are going to make some kind of an announcement. You got a new product, you're gonna be somewhere, you got new tour dates, you're gonna do a product launch of some sort, you know, whatever it might be. And you want to announce something to your audience, and so you post it on your Facebook page. Well, only like 2 or 3% of the followers are going to get that post in their newsfeed. So what that means is, in order for the remaining 97% of your audience to know about your announcement, they have to go to you, and basically they have to come to your page and discover that information unprompted, right? Like, they just have to do that. Like, they have to come to you, you can't go to them. And that's a really big problem. And it didn't used to be this way too, right? Remember, like, back in the day, the whole point of following a Facebook page was that you would see all of their posts in your feed. But then Facebook changed the rules, and now you have to pay to boost a post. If you're a business owner, owns a page, and you want to reach more of your audience, you have to pay money for that every single time. And even still, you're not guaranteed that everybody's going to get the message. And it didn't used to be that way, right? That's something that has changed. And so you don't want to rely on third parties to own the relationship of your clients. Like, you shouldn't rely on third parties to be able to communicate with your own customers. And so you want to own that relationship so that you have the ability to serve your own clients, right? And the best way to do that is some kind of platform that you own, which is probably going to include your website and building an email list, and relying on that more so than social media. So ownership and accessibility, I think, is a really big deal. So that's thing number one. Thing number two is authority and positioning, which is who are you and how can you help people? How do you answer that question? And the problem with social media with regard to your authority and your positioning is all the information is just too scattered and too transient to be as potent as you need it to be. And if you do something like on your website, you have complete control over the design, the information, it lasts forever. You know, all of those things are really important elements to being able to establish your authority, tell people what they get when they work from you and what the results are that could be forthcoming with a relationship with you and who it's for. And, you know, why do you have the expertise and authority to do all this stuff? Like, there's no better platform to communicate your authority and your positioning than your own website. Because if you rely on social media for that, you can still get the same information out there. But it's all scattered. It's scattered across, you know, hundreds of different posts. And the posts are so short-lived, you know? Like how long is the tweet relevant for? Like, how long does the tweet last? Or how far can you ride the Instagram hashtag wave? You know, like, how long is that going to last? None, right? It's too transient. So that's a huge problem. It's the information's there, but it's not organized in such a way to be as effective as you really need it to be compared to what you could do on your own website. So authority and positioning, I think, is a huge one. Lead nurturing is the third one that I wanted to mention. And the truth is, with regard to lead nurturing, most clients or most of your customers aren't going to buy something from you the first time that they see your business or your product, assuming that you're selling some kind of a service or product that rises above the level of an impulse buy, right? So like if something that you're selling costs more than about $37, then you need to nurture the leads a little bit. There's probably going to be some extra information that people are going to need to know whether or not working with you is the way they want to go. And they're probably going to need some time to think about it. And you're going to want to have some kind of a way to give them that information and to provide a channel back to you when they're ready to actually make a decision to work with you or not, or to buy your stuff or not. And so what you want to do there is you probably want to be building an email list. And so the way that tends to work is you create some kind of a content upgrade, right? Something that's better than free, but is given away in exchange for an email address. So then you have an email opt-in form. So you got these lead magnets, you got the form, you're building the list, and then you nurture that lead over time to eventually get them to become aware of your products or schedule a phone call consultation or buy something or take that next call to action step. And if you don't have that, like if you're just relying on social media alone, you don't have any way to nurture those leads or to provide an easy path back to you other than just hoping that they remember to come back later on with no additional information other than what they can glean randomly from the algorithms on social media kind of giving them your stuff from time to time. So that's way worse than being able to be in control of that lead nurturing sequence. So lead nurturing, I think, is a huge, huge issue. But now we're getting into some really interesting stuff too. Analytics. Analytics is huge for a lot of reasons, right? So like if you're on social media, you basically don't get any analytics compared to what you can get from Google Analytics or installing some kind of, you know, website tracking, you know, stats stuff. You know, most people use Google Analytics. So what kind of information can you get that's so interesting? Well, one thing is, well, what content is working, right? With social media, basically all the analytics you get are, did somebody like or share it, right? You don't really get time on page or number of actions per visit or bounce rates or you know, what search terms did people use to find you or what are people searching for on your site? Like, you're not getting any of that on social media. So you're kind of just flying in the dark. Whereas if you have a website, you know all of that stuff, right? You vastly more information, so you know what content is working. So that means, okay, well, now I know what to say in the emails that I send and what to say on my next podcast and, you know, what other blog posts should I write? And should I even make more content at all? You know, like, is it even working in the first place? So that's really, really critical, important information. Obviously, you know your SEO metrics as well, so you're going to be able to boost your organic listing by saying, hey, you know, this is the content that's getting more page views and more actions per visit and longer time on site, you know, all of those types of stats. You're going to know that stuff, so you're going to be able to boost your SEO metrics. That can almost go without saying. But here's another one, and this is totally overlooked almost all the time. If you connect your Google Analytics to your Google Ads account, then you get better results on your ads because you can create lookalike audiences. You can measure goals. Like, you can set up your Google Analytics to measure goals. And so that way, Google knows when people hit your site if they're actually doing what you want them to be doing so that they can then send more people that do that stuff your way. And that's huge. That's a huge, huge thing. You'll never get anything anywhere near that with just so relying on social media, right? Like, the whole point of the lookalike audience is to improve your social media experiences too. So that's huge. But the big one is paid traffic. So if you ever intend to run paid traffic in any way, like running ads on any of your channels, you're going to want a website for that, right? And because you can't really run, like you can't even run Facebook ads to a Facebook page anymore or Facebook group anymore. That's off limits. Like Facebook stopped that. You can't do that anymore. And so if you want to use or leverage paid traffic for anything, you really have to have a website for that. Like it could be, you're going to do an automated webinar funnel. You're going to do an SLO, like a self-liquidating offer, or you're going to do a challenge. You're going to get your audience together and kind of put a challenge together. You're going to do a product launch, like any of those things where you really want to run paid traffic to that, to get a lot of information and action going on as fast as possible. You have to have a website. Like you can't run paid ads or do any of those types of marketing tactics with social media only, right? So paid traffic is a huge one. So those are the five big ones. And I'm gonna give you a bonus one. Let me review the five real quick, just so you've got them all in a list. Got them here in a note. So ownership and accessibility, which is how easy is it to reach your audience and who owns that relationship. Authority and positioning, who are you and how can you help people, right? Like the best way to communicate that is on your own website, because the information on social media is just too scattered and too transient. Lead nurturing is the third one, meaning that if you sell something that rises above the level of an impulse buy, you're going to need to get more information back to your audience so they can decide if they want to work with you or buy from you. And you're going to need to provide a very easy path back where you can kind of be nurturing that lead rather than relying them just to remember. So lead nurturing is third one. Fourth is all the cool stuff you can do with analytics with regard to what content is working, your SEO metrics, your lookalike audiences and goals. And then paid traffic. Like if you ever have any interest at all in running paid traffic, you're going to need to have a website for that. But let me give you a bonus. The bonus one is recurring revenue. So now this doesn't apply to all clients all the time, but in my experience, it applies to almost all clients all the time. Like the vast majority of people that you work with probably want to have a more reliability and stability to their income, to their cash flow. And they also probably have untapped potential for recurring revenue channels. So for example, subscribe and save subscriptions for consumable products. Like if you have a client that sells anything that's consumable or that they use up, you know, it could be, you know, shaving cream, it could be printer ink, it could be, you know, gardening stuff, you know, that you use up season after season, whatever it might be, like anything that you use up, you can get people on, it could be nutritional supplements, right? Stuff like that, sunscreen, you know, cosmetics, anything like that. Get people on a subscribe and save and, you know, or bundle together like a kit of products that you can then not only increase the cart value with, but also get the whole kit on subscribe and save. So that's a recurring revenue opportunity. Only available by way of your own website. Enhanced access to your client for like insider information is another one. So like if you've got a, say you're working with a band or something like that, or like anybody in like the entertainment industry or like a cooking show or something like that, and you want to be able to provide kind of like backstage access, that's or like authors, writers, coaches, you know, people like that, they can run these kind of backstage pass kind of deals that are on subscription. You know, coaching and online courses is another way to get recurring revenue for your clients. Subscription service plans, which should be like, let's say you're working with like a lawn care business or something like that. Rather than just selling like one-off grass mowing sessions, you know, why not get the clients on like a maintenance package or subscription plan for lawn care that includes, you know, everything from snow removal in the winter up through seeding and aeration and fertilization and like all this stuff that you do in the fall. Like just every season there's something going on. And then rather than just, you know, writing a check for it on demand, you know, just kind of say, hey, I'm going to take care of your property forever on a monthly subscription. And now they've got that coming in. Or like HVAC repair. It's like, hey, you know, I'll come in and maintain your air conditioning and heating and cooling system. You know, we'll do annual checkups, and if anything breaks, you get discounts for that. And all you do is you kind of subscribe on a monthly plan for that as well. So, I mean, there's all kinds of creative ways to think about how can you get recurring revenue coming in on behalf of your client, but you're going to have a website to manage those memberships and subscriptions. Like you can't just do that on Instagram, right? So it's like, you need a website for all that stuff. So recurring revenue is really a huge kind of untapped market for a large number of clients. So tap into that, right? And that's a huge thing, because now you're creating a huge financial incentive for them to be working with you over and beyond just, hey, let me build a website. So I think if you take those things and you bundle all those answers together, you're going to have a really, really solid answer for the next time somebody says, hey, you know, our website's still relevant, even in 2021. And, you know, what if I just cancel my website and just use my Facebook page? And now you've got all these great answers that are interesting, unique, and exclusive to websites, as opposed to all the boring answers. Oh, yeah, build trust, you know, tell your story. Like you can do all that stuff on social media too. But all of these are exclusive to web design, exclusive to websites. You have to have a website property in order to do those things. So if you want to learn how to kind of implement some of that stuff, and like these are really good ideas and it's sparking some interest in helping your clients at this deeper level, give me a call and let's kind of put together some offers so that you can reach out to your clients and kind of onboard them into this stuff. Because in addition to this being really powerful for them, the majority of these things are things that you can offer on a recurring revenue basis for yourself as well, right? So like if you're going to be managing paid traffic, if you're going to be doing content creation, if you're going to be analyzing analytics, you know, all of those are things that you can have your clients subscribe to you for a retainer. So go on over to doublestack.net/call, find a time that's going to work for you on my calendar, and I'll give you a call at that time. And then we'll put our heads together and figure out how we can kind of lump all this stuff together into a marketing retainer that you can offer to your clients too at this high ticket rate. And I think what you're going to find is it's not going to be that hard to get, you know, a couple of hours a week into the mix managing some of this stuff. And when you do that, I'm going to mail you this trophy. So this is the Double Stack 5-Figure Family Trophy. And like you get somebody on retainer for like, you know, $800 to $1,000 a month or something like that. You're making over 10 grand a year and boom, you get the trophy. So head on over to doublestack.net/call, find a time that's going to work for you on the calendar, and I'll give you a call at the time that you select, and we will start, you know, brainstorming on how to get all this stuff to come to life for you too. And now everybody's winning, right? So now you're winning because you've got more stability to your cash flow. You're winning these 5-figure clients. And then you think, well, how many clients do I need who are paying me, you know, $15,000 or $20,000 a year in order to make the income that you want, right? What if you had 5 people paying you 20 grand a year? It's 100 grand off of 5 clients, right? So why not do that instead of trying to build like 5 websites every single month? So that's a much better pattern. And so why don't we get on the phone, talk about how to implement this new structure into your business. And now you've got a much better situation going on for your business. Your clients are getting a lot better outcomes for their business. And their customers are actually getting a lot better outcomes too, because they're not just trying to learn everything about your client based on, you know, a drifting tweet that went by yesterday or something like that, right? So let's get this stuff rolling. Head on over to doublestack.net/call and pick a time on the calendar. I'll give you a call then, and I look forward to talking to you. High five to you.